Chapter 23. The muscles along Giles's back bunched as he turned, and he could feel the heat of that pistol on the other side of the door pressing. She was looking at him wide-eyed as he dove past her and pulled her down with him, falling slowly through the air, back muscles tight and shoulder tightening, waiting for the floor to come up and strike them, waiting for the bullet that carried his name, waiting for the hallucination of Anna's ghost to fade and be replaced with Dora. Only Dora. He heard her grunt on impact, and the voice was hers. It was her voice, and he was relieved. He managed to catch her head with the meat of his arm, protecting it from bouncing. Her hands were clutched up in his shirt like she wanted to throw a punch, but when she looked into his eyes, her hands loosened up like wet rope, and she opened her mouth to speak. The first bullets blew through the door before she could say anything. They closed their eyes together, and he pulled her in, tugging at her shoulder with his right hand and curling his left arm to bring her face to his chest, and as he tried to shield her, he wished to be a heavier man. The skin and bones of his body felt inadequate, very much so, as they lay together on the floor with the glass shattering over the sink and the wood chips and dust drifting down to rest on them like a blanket. More shots came, continued to come, came at a speed that surprised, and Giles looked back at the door to see each new hole walking down its length like the steps of invisible feet. He held his breath and tensed, and he felt Dora tense against him. He wondered if she could tell it was coming, or if she only responded to the motion of his body, wondered if tensing would help it hurt less when it came, the way it helped to tense before being struck along the body. He clenched his eyes shut and felt the passage of air over his length, like the wind of a speeding car felt from the curb. The whole side of the motel wall thundered, and he was convinced the side of the building was coming down on top of them, that enough bullets had come through to undermine the structure, before he realized it could not be. Only the door was shot up. It simply could not be. Then he heard the sound of panging rattles like pots and pans being smashed together. He opened his eyes and saw the bulk of Sigma filling the entire doorframe. Within his mind, the hoplite said, "You must get to the car, quickly, before he starts shooting through the window." The clanging continued. Giles looked down at Dora, still balled up on the floor, trying to cover every part of herself with her arms and hands, and he brushed the hair from her face. She looked up at him, and then squinted back toward the door. "The window in the bathroom," Sigma urged. "Fast." "What about you?" Giles hissed. "I'll track your progress. As soon as you're through the window, I'll occupy him so you can get to the car. I'll catch you up. Go." The shooting paused a moment, and the world became as quiet as Giles had ever heard in his whole life, quieter than the final time he reached for Anna's hand and found it empty. Then the glass of the window exploded, and the curtains began to jump wildly, and the room came alive again in a spinning fury. "Now," Sigma sent. Giles got to his knees and pulled at Dora, sliding her body along the carpet until she got a leg under and stood, and then she was dragging him along as he dragged her, dragging each other, plunging ahead to the darkness of the bathroom door, while the far wall vomited fragments into the air and the glass shards sparkled in the light and the blinking light of Sigma's turret followed. The bathroom window was large enough to allow their passage, but the glass itself was meshed with a fine web of steel, or something that looked like steel. Dora grabbed the plunger from the corner, stomped the rubber cup from the handle, and stabbed it into the glass like a baton. It skittered along the glass's surface without leaving a mark. She cursed and stabbed at it again, several times, quickly. And on the last strike, a crack webbed over the mesh. "Sigma!" Giles shouted. "We can't—" The hoplite shoved through the doorway. He did not take the time to turn sideways as he came through, and the jams on each side suffered the consequences, splintering from the frame as if made of paper. Giles and Dora shielded their eyes as Sigma's arm lashed out, punctured the window's membrane, and then showered the bathroom with shards as he yanked it off from the wall. Giles turned to shove Dora through, but Sigma held them both back and said, "Not yet." His foot caved out the sill, opening the whole thing up like an explosion, and then he was urging them forth, saying, "Hurry. Extreme caution. Hurry." Dora went through first, followed by Giles, and as they rushed down the back alleyway, they heard more such explosions coming from behind. They were explosions that were not explosions, sounds of such violence that Giles could only define them as the sounds hell made. It was cars ramming into each other on the highway, thunder splitting the sky, buildings collapsing to the pavement. It was louder than his ears could hear, louder than his brain could understand. And it was all behind him, all happening right behind him. He leaned ahead toward Dora and shouted, "The car! He said for us to get to the car!" He saw her head nod before she reached back to take his hand. She had parked the car across from the door to their room. When they neared the edge of the building, she inched the last few feet slowly before peeking around the side. She put the sliver of an eye around the side and saw only the emptiness of a quiet parking lot. She looked back at Giles, who stood there blinking, and then she edged out into the open. Coming around the side, she could now see what had once been their front window was now a great hole in the side of the building with a few shreds of curtains spilling out. There was a smattering of glass shards all over the concrete below the window, and the explosions had stopped. It was quiet enough in the lot to whisper. The door to the room right next door to them cracked open. Dora hissed and ducked. She felt Giles's hand squeeze down over her own, but he was not strong enough to hurt her. A head poked through, the frightened face of a dark-eyed woman. They heard the small voice of a crying child coming from within. "Go back," Giles hissed. "Lock the door." The dark-eyed woman shook her head at them.
"Vuelve adentro,"
Dora tried. The dark-eyed woman gasped, and the door slammed shut. She yanked Giles forward, pulling him nearly from his feet, and they legged across the lot to a car she now very much regretted. It stood out to her eyes like a great bleeding asshole, and after all the noise, she wondered if they could escape without anyone looking very hard at them. It would be very bad if people looked at them in a hard way, in a way that burned details into memory. It was all very bad, and she cursed the car herself and the feet that had carried her there. They crouched low and hustled along. When she gained the car, she unlocked and opened the door, shoved the seat over, and crammed Giles into the rear. Then she was in after him, and the Hemi engine screamed to life. She could feel the thing bucking to life through the pedals, and she yanked the knob over to reverse. They were moving in a hard arc, the force of the movement so great she could not close the door, could only hold on to it. And then, when they stopped, the thing slammed shut on her arm and jarred hell out of her shoulder.
"Sigma!"
Giles hollered. He reached into the passenger seat and lowered the window, screaming again,
"Sigma!"
The hoplite burst through the window like a bounding jungle creature, loping, hitting the ground with scraping clicks, pumping with metal arms in a way so human that Giles almost saw panic in the turret. Giles threw the door open as Sigma came on, and when he neared the vehicle, he dug his heels into the pavement and showered the length of the car with sparks. He fell into the passenger seat, body grinding through the doorframe, knees up as high as he could get them. And when Dora dumped the clutch, Giles felt their back end slide leftward by 3 feet before the tires hooked and shot the car forward like a cannonball. The passenger door slammed shut from the momentum, and Sigma, turret jammed into the roof while the rest of him ripped up every inch of upholstery, stabbed at the seat controls until he reclined all the way back. Giles had enough time to yank his legs out of the way before they were pinned.
"Did you kill him?"
Dora yelled. The car bottomed out as they launched from the lot, barfed a shower of sparks across the street, and all the passing self-drive cars squawked and blatted indignantly, scattering like roaches to avoid their passage.
"Unlikely. He has sustained only 1,000,000 volts at 10 milliamps.
"Only?"
shouted Dora.
"It's not that bad,"
Giles yelled from the back.
"Was he knocked out when you left, Sigma?"
"Yes. I was preparing to restrain him when you shouted."
"Shit. You should have finished the job."
"Never mind," Giles said. "Get over to the right. You're pulling way too much attention in the self-drive lanes."
"Yeah, hang on," Dora said. "I'm waiting for a gap. Turn your blinker on. They'll open up for you."
She did so, and a path to the rightmost lane materialized. As they began to drift in that direction, Giles saw her eyes widen in the rearview mirror. She yanked on the near prehistoric shifter knob, and then the engine was screaming again, rattling the teeth inside of his skull.
"What the hell?" he shouted. 1,000,000 volts of whatever the fuck turns out to be less than you'd hoped," she yelled back.
The car swerved like a drunk man beginning to tumble, and Giles was jarred up against the inside wall, head bouncing, and he wondered if the crash he heard had been his skull or something outside the car.
"Get the fuck out of the way!"
Dora screamed, and it sounded to Giles as if her throat had split open. He clawed his way up the back seat to look through the rear window. The street and the buildings that walled it in stretched out behind them to a point that vanished beyond the clutter of city life. And somewhere within the noise of movement was more movement, a discordant note, the feel of colliding panels and sparks and smoke and chaos. Bubble-shaped cars, tiny in the distance, weaved in new panicked arcs, awakened rudely by the thing driving up their middle, pushing them out at all sides on an invisible wave, rolling forward like a tsunami. And at the heart of that tsunami was the intelligence of those little vehicles, the inner workings of their collision-avoidance systems shifting into overdrive. He saw a black sedan plowing a furrow up the road, and shouted, "Good Christ, he's coming!"
"Yes, I'm aware, Giles. You really want to buckle up?"
She yanked on the knob again. The car lurched beneath him and then screamed forward, throwing him into the backrest and shook violently under deafening explosions as it jerked first left and then right. The pebbled glass of the side windows blew across the interior, and then his world became the call of a cyclone, howling into his ears like a shrieking demon. The engine screamed to drown out the shrieking. They combated one against the other, neither winning out, and Dora added her own voice to the storm, sounding small and far away. She slammed the knob, the car lurched, and Giles soon detected the smell of an unclean burn. It was a smell from long ago, an odor that brought to his mind the image of a sickly yellow-green smoke, and he realized it was something he had forgotten. He had not smelled it in years, not since people had stopped jamming on their brakes to avoid rear-end collisions. The smell burned the inside of his nostrils, and he understood that Dora was laying down rubber. He grabbed her headrest and pulled upright, fighting to yank one leg out from under Sigma's bulk, which had wedged beneath the seat somehow, and looked again through the rear window as he fumbled with the belt. A line of abused vehicles trailed in their wake, jammed over to the roadsides with their caution lights popped and rotating in wild orange shimmers. Up the center of the destruction drove the sedan, the great black pursuer. Giles peered at the windshield, fighting to see past the glare to the face he knew must be inside, the round, forgettable face.
"He's gaining," shouted Giles.
"I know."
The sedan swerved out to their driver's side as it neared, and Dora, seeing it, drifted in this direction to cut it off. The sedan's grill dipped toward the pavement, and Giles was rocked as bumpers collided. The Hemi's rear axle broke loose and slopped sidelong to the right until they pointed nearly sideways. His hands clenched down hard, his arms clenched, his entire being clenched and locked rigid as they slid, and he watched Dora's shoulder heave as she spun the wheel, saw her right hand feather light over the shifter knob, and heard the pulsing grind of the engine as she goosed it forward. He heard her screaming, and it still sounded so far away. The wind rushed around his head, and he heard the screaming of the engine in his heart and the screaming of Dora in his mind, and he felt the shredding of his own screams in his throat and through his teeth. He looked out the left window and saw the shining grill of the sedan bearing down, and he thought he heard the shriek of that engine, too, coming to end them. He shouted, "Dora!" From the corner of his eye, her right hand dipped. The tires underneath seized the road, snatched the road up from itself until they had all of it, every fucking inch of it, and the back end whipped out like a lash. They blasted forth like a low-flying rocket, and Giles caught a suggestion of the retreating grill before he was thrown into the sidewall again. He drew breath to scream something. He was unsure what, perhaps that his seatbelt was not helping. But then the car was sliding again. He smelled that reeking yellow-green burn. And then they were running down a cross street in a new direction. The alarm had gone out over the cloud by now, and the self-drives ahead yanked away to the curbs to be out of their way, wide-eyed sleeping passenger stares following them through the windows as they passed, and everywhere, the orange strobe of caution lights. Looking at these strangers, Giles felt a giddy laugh buried somewhere deep down, locked within under the pressure of his constricted throat.
"Something's wrong," he shouted. "Where are the police?"
"I don't think they'll be much help,"
Dora yelled.
"No, I mean, where are they? We've wrecked a motel building and tore up this whole street."
"I don't really care right now, Giles, as long as they stay the hell out of the way."
"He is coming again," Sigma said. Being wedged into the seat, Giles realized suddenly that the green wire frame of the projected world was still there as it had always been, had never ceased to be. The hidden world had gone unnoticed in the last little interval. He ducked and turned into the seat, looking through the cushions and beyond, and in their black depths he could see the sedan's wire frame plunging toward them. Hovering over it, the nameplate Belin, along with the distance indicator counting down rapidly to zero. Dora swerved the car again to anticipate their assailant, but this time he swerved to counter, waiting for her to dip left so he could fly right. Giles looked on in shock as the part of the sedan visible through their passenger window pulled up alongside, flinched as door panels collided. Dora tensed and glanced in the man's direction, snarling through her teeth. They could both see the driver now, both Dora and Giles. There was no hat, just the round, androgynous face under a cap of brown ringlet curls that lifted in little dancing jerks as he rolled the window down. He pulled out a pistol, pointed it at Dora, and hesitated. She fought the shifter and the pedals to speed up and slow down by turns, trying to get that cavernous barrel off her, but he matched them for speed and position, never taking his eyes from her, left hand mirroring the whipping, slapping actions of her own upon the wheel. The sedan darted slightly, following them, matching them, and the barrel twitched in small increments as it tracked her. She divided her attention between the road ahead and the gun, sideswiping many cars that had already pulled out of the way, and in frustration, yelled through the window, "Fuck you!" "Sigma!" Giles screamed. The hoplite thrust up from the seat in a side push-up, blocking the window with its bulk. A moment later, Giles heard popgun reports, just as before, and he knew that Sigma was being peppered. Through the patter of bullet impacts, Sigma said, "I suggest you take a new strategy. The current course of action does not seem to be working."
"What would I do without you?"
Dora yelled. The car dipped beneath them, and Giles watched in horror as she yanked the emergency brake with her right hand. The whole vehicle turned sideways again, groaning through the center of an intersection, and they were plunging down a new street. In the overlay, Giles saw the sedan grind to a halt in the direction they had been traveling, and it rapidly decreased in size to a green blotch as they sped away. He heard the ratchet of the emergency brake again. Again felt the slide of the world beneath him, and made a kind of eye contact with Sigma's turret. The hoplite no longer shielded the window with its body. It now wedged itself into the door, bracing against the side of Dora's seat and the dashboard with his arms to keep from being thrown across the car to crush them both.
"Have you been damaged?" Giles shouted.
The turret whipped around and said, "I have not. System's nominal."
"Oh, I'm fine, thanks," Dora growled.
She threw the car out to the side, and the world darkened as they speared down an alley, brick walls close in on either side, sounds now closer as the tighter world shoved the echoes of their own passage back against them, then the world opening up again into a new street, the car sliding sideways over the world, the acrid burn of the yellow-green smoke, and the forever strobing flash of orange caution lights.
"Did we lose him?" Dora asked.
Giles blinked several times, struggling to teach himself how to prefer the overlay to reality, gave up, and closed his eyes. He was thrown into the dark panic of weaving green lines, of overlays upon overlays, occlusions and jumbled information.
"Sigma, in the overlay, cut out everything but the buildings and that car."
The noise dissolved. Now he saw vast rows of vertical and horizontal lines sliding past each other in different directions like fence posts. They seemed to shear and pixelate as they crossed each other, and somewhere beyond these, he thought he saw a darting box.
"Kill the buildings!"
The last snarl of green noise disappeared, and in the new darkness he saw the box with the nameplate. It seemed very far away, but he could see it darting quickly, sometimes moving laterally, and sometimes seeming not to move at all, only growing larger as he focused. The distance indicator beneath the nameplate counted down as he watched, sometimes fast and sometimes slow, but always down.
"Do you see him?" Dora called.
The distance indicator transitioned beneath 1 mile and began ticking off feet. The numbers now spun rapidly, like the altimeter of a dying aircraft plunging to Earth.
"He's coming," Giles gasped. "Is he on our street yet?"
"No, he's 1 block over."
"How far back?"
Passing 2,900 feet.
"Now. Wait. He's turned."
"No, he's coming over now. He's coming over to our street right now."
"Good.
Good." She grunted the word, "motherfucker," through a twisted, tooth-clamped sneer before her hand dipped again to the e-brake. Giles had enough time to hiss, "Shit!" and brace against the seat before the world spun again, this time in a sickening lurch eclipsing all that had come before. He found himself sprawled against the hard angles and sharp lines of Sigma's bulk, hips wailing under the pinch of the seatbelt, cradled by knobby metal hands pressing counter to the swing of his body. The Hemi slammed into position and stopped, sitting quietly for a split second, before she shoved the shifter knob up toward the dashboard so hard Giles thought she might snap the eight ball off, and then the Hemi was screaming again, grinding and screaming like it would suck the whole city up through its intake and shit it out again in a dark fury. She dumped the clutch. They began to fishtail to the left, and then the tires hooked, and Giles was slammed into the back seat as if Sigma had thrown him. "Caution, extreme caution," Sigma alarmed. He sat up, the tortured passenger seat groaning beneath him, pointed through the windshield, and blatted deep within his chest. Giles followed Sigma's pointing finger, and saw in the distance, and bearing down on them like a battering ram, the glare of the black sedan's oncoming grill.
"Son of a god!" he wailed.
He reached out to grab Dora's shoulder. He could only see the side of her cheek from that angle, and was certain he saw the dimple of a smile before she yanked it down into second and pinned him to the cushion. A few seconds later, she did it again in third. The sedan bore down on them, glinting like hell in the sunlight, growing rapidly in his view, and the glare from the grill tried to blind him, and Dora threw it up another gear, though he would be damned if he knew which one, and that sedan kept growing larger and larger. He jammed his eyes shut and screamed through a locked throat, the sound ripping through his teeth like the squealing of their tires, and he realized in great dismay that he could still see the car coming. It was all green lines and impersonal data, and had now grown so big that it took up his entire mind. It threatened to swallow him, then swiped by to the left, and there was another bowel-shaking explosion. His eyes snapped open. When he realized they were still alive, that they were still plunging ahead, he shouted,
"What?"
jerked up, and looked out the rear window. Diminishing in the distance was the wreckage of the sedan, turned on its side and wrapped around one of the self-drive vehicles that had pulled to the side of the road. Of all the cars on that street, the sedan and the small bubbled self-drive car the sedan had murdered were the only two machines that lacked strobing orange caution lights. The Hemi lurched again, and the wreckage disappeared around the turn of an intersection. Giles faced forward and asked,
Was anyone killed in that?
Unknown. It is out of my sensor range.
Can you see any lens traffic?
Unknown. I am sorry, Giles.
You were right, Dora said, pulling the car back down to a reasonable speed. There should be a swarm of cops on us right now. What the hell's going on?
Giles could only shake his head. His jaw felt like it wanted to fall off his skull.
What about Guardian? She asked. They should have seen.
I don't know, he said. I don't know, but you'd better get us off the road. There are a lot of people looking right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. We should ditch this car.
Yes, Dora agreed.
Hey, Sigma, there a garage or something close by?
A mechanic?
No, a mechanic, Jesus. A big parking garage, something covered.
I am relaying data to Giles now.
There'll be cameras, Giles warned, for public safety.
Any more than are supposed to be out here? Dora asked.
Well, no. Then we'll have to deal. We need to get out of the open. The side panels on this car look just like something that's been used to rip up the city traffic. They're going to be looking for cars like ours, you know?
I wonder why, Giles muttered.
Hey, you know what?
No, that's not meant to be an insult. Dora, that was incredible. Who the hell taught you to drive like that?
Nobody taught me, she sniffed.
What, you just picked it up?
Were you going to tell me how to get to the goddamn garage or not?
Shit, sorry. Take a right up here. She did, and the further they traveled, the quieter the world became. The caution lights had been left behind, and Dora now kept them legally in the manual lane, obeying the rules of the road against the danger of drawing further attention, though he could see her knuckles were bone white around the wheel.
Are you okay? He asked. Not right now, Giles. Let me get us out of sight. Let's get out of sight, get the hell out of this town, and then we can start talking about our feelings, sabes?
Sure. Sure, you got it. Left at the second light. Giles went silent, and in a little while he leaned forward, placed his forehead against the back of Dora's seat, and moaned softly.
Hey, she said. Hey, what is that?
Ugh.
He burped softly and resisted the urge to spit.
Hello, talk to me.
Just a little nauseous. Give me a minute.
Hey, don't you get sick back there, you hear me? I'm serious, man, I'm not in the mood.
It's nothing I plan to do on purpose, I assure you.
Don't you fucking do it, Giles. I'm not in the mood to smell it. Enough has happened today, and it's not even noon.
Shut up a bit, can't you? The garage is coming up on your right.
He felt the car sway and groaned.
Giles?
Knock it off, I said. Please desist from fighting. It profits the situation nothing. Within Giles's mind, he heard Sigma whisper, Her heart rate is greatly elevated, Giles. She's just as impacted by this as you. I believe you're scaring her more. Giles sighed, swallowed hard, and sat up. He reached forward and squeezed Dora's shoulder. It felt like a knot of wood. He said, Hey, I'm all right. I'm sorry, it's okay. Are you all right?
Of course I'm all right.
Okay, okay. He removed his hand. No problem. Everything's fine. Am I all right? She muttered in disgust.
Okay, he repeated.
They plunged into the darkness of the parking garage.
We'll need to settle for something more common, she sighed, making a trial circuit around the lower level. It'll be self-drive again, I think. We won't find any abuelos in here.
Yes.
Sigma, I guess you'll be driving again.
Understood. Please attempt to locate a vehicle with sufficient space. Dora snorted.
Legroom? The toaster's worried about leg...
As I have often repeated, I serve many more functions.
Yeah, all right. I'll look for a family van or something.
There's an empty spot over there in the corner, Giles suggested. It looks nice and dark.
Yeah, I see it. Hang on.
Both sides of the Hemi had been caved in and scraped clean of paint. They left the hoplite reclined in the passenger seat while they stood looking at it, Dora shaking her head in a slow, sad manner.
What a shame, she said. It was really a beautiful car.
I feel bad for the poor bastard who owned it. She shrugged.
Ones like him always have insurance.
Yes, but I'm sure this was his baby. She looked at him, eyes tired.
We don't have the time for what this discussion wants to become. Let's just go find something with a full charge and try to get the toaster moved to it without anyone seeing, huh?
As if to prove her point, a two-seater rolled silently by, and they suspected it from the corners of their eyes, unwilling to move until it was gone. After it disappeared to the upper level, he said,
We need to figure out where we're going.